Magic.
And the world of illusion.
Magic TV.
And Craig Petty. Proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Everybody, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig. It is episode 5 of Talk Magic, and I am here with one of the, if not the most successful magician in the UK, if not further afield, Mr. Lee Smith. How are you doing, Lee?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for having me on. Been an honour. With that introduction, I hope I can deliver.
But it's true. You know. I mean, and again, it very much depends on how you define success. But you have achieved so much from a business point of view. And I wanted to get you on the channel very, very early on because you kind of flipped a little bit, didn't you? In terms of you were initially a creator of magic and you kind of went down that route. And then a few years ago, you completely diversified. And that's where you found success more than anything else. And I think that's a really interesting thing to talk about, you know.
I think it's important as well. I don't think enough people sort of talk about the transitions they make because a lot of people have done it, yourself being one of them. And I know that we took that kind of route at the same time. And I remember watching your journey while I was sort of doing my journey. We were on different paths, but, you know, we were doing similar things. We kind of got away from the magic to a degree and went into the business side. And there's a strong link there. You know, I think a lot of people think I went off and left creating to be a businessman. It wasn't like that at all. Everything I do is still strongly related to magic. But for me, it was just a point in my life I needed to make change. It was as simple as that. And it's like everybody, you know, you never sort of like stop and do or make change, let's say, until sometimes problems get that bad. And I was kind of in a position where I love my magic. I was doing well. I was a busy magician, but I knew I had more potential and I wasn't where I needed to be. So I seeked out help.
And that's something that I really want to talk about. Let's start at the beginning. So how did you get into magic? Because the first time I became aware of you was when you were doing the stuff with Russ Stevens at RSVP. That's kind of the Step System and Eye Candy and iPhone 10 and all of those projects. That kind of put you on my radar because you were releasing the type of magic that I like, really commercial, sleight of hand based magic. Were you in magic for many years before that or?
Many years. Actually, it was a lot of people don't know this. I didn't get into magic till I was 18. I got in quite late. I wasn't one of these people that did it as a kid and got really good at it. I got into it about 18 years old. I was a carpenter by trade, working with my dad. I was also running a bar. I was a bar manager in a local bar. And I started doing magic as a hobby. It was literally just a hobby. There's a very long story about this. If you want to read the whole thing, it's all in my book and I've done it on other podcasts. I won't go into the story of how I got into magic as such because it was just an accident. I picked up a magic book. I picked up a pack of playing cards. I learned, like, I think it was 101 amazing card tricks. I learned like 3 or 4 of these tricks, like a lot of people, started doing them in the pubs and bars, realized I just loved it. And, you know, very long story short, I ended up going to meet Jerry Sadowitz in International Magic. He showed me some magic in there, blew my mind, if you like. And then off the back of that, I think I went in there and saw another magician perform, can't remember who it was. He gave me Gary Kurtz DVD and he said, if you can learn anything on there and come back to us and prove you've learned it, he goes, we'll talk. And of course, I went away and learned a number of the routines and went back in there, did some magic. And after that, I was hooked. And of course, I didn't know what I was getting into learning the Gary Kurtz routine. I just thought it was standard. So I had to get a bit of a practice head start, if you like, by trying to learn really difficult material. But for years, I never knew if I was any good. I just kind of went off, did my own thing, hung around with my friends, went out socializing, did magic in the pubs and the bars and the bar where I was working. And I just performed. And I just loved it. I just performed and performed and performed. Made loads of mistakes, but I didn't know any different. And off the back of doing that for about 4 or 5 years, I started getting, well, maybe not as long as that, maybe 3 or 4 years, people started saying, do you do parties? And next thing I know, I knocked up some business cards printed at a service station. But one day I was like, this is like, remember those machines you could get and you could put in your own details? I think, well, I made like 50 business cards, gave them all out. And I got some jobs. And I remember going out doing parties and thought, this is just amazing. You know, I love this. And that's how it started. And it was just, like most people, a hobby that got out of control. And
Okay, that's really interesting. And then when did you start creating magic? When did you meet Russ Stevens? When did you start putting material out? Was that fairly soon after becoming a pro?
I've been pro, sort of semi-pro for a while. I went pro with the magic because I just didn't enjoy doing the pubs and bars anymore. And I think my personality has always been quite interactive, should we say. So I met a lot of people in the pubs and the bars, and I just realised I was making more money out of magic than I was, you know, anything else that I was doing. So I had a couple of magician friends, and they invited me to Blackpool. I've met a few people on my journey, you know, just like hobbyists. So I went to Blackpool, and that's where I met Gary Jones first, actually. And he was on Workers' Corner with Chris. And I remember just, I knew who Gary was. I'd learned some of his, had some of his material, some of his books, DVDs, and he was a bit of a hero of mine. And I just went up and started speaking to him, and I was like, I love your work. You know, I love what you guys do. I love you. And I spent nearly the whole convention at Workers' Corner, just standing on their stand. And I just watched them. I was just in awe of everything they were doing. So it was like my sort of material. I was a real world performer. And just started sort of chatting to them, like speaking to Gary on the phone. And it was Gary, and I think it was somebody else. I can't remember how it came about, but someone said, you've got to speak to this guy Lee. He's got some interesting material. And again, at this point, I still didn't class myself or rate myself as a decent magician, because I didn't know the difference really from good or bad. I just watched people like Gary and thought they was amazing. And someone said, I basically put Russ in touch with me and said, you need to reach out to Lee. And I'd created a bit of magic on my own, just on my own back, that I was performing myself in the pubs and bars. I wasn't putting this material out. I was just literally performing this stuff. And if it didn't work, it didn't work. But I had a whole bunch of things I'd created, showed them to Gary, a few other people. And eventually Russ Stevens reached out to me, and he just said, I've heard you've got some interesting material. You've been interested in a project. We spoke on the phone. You come to see me. And the rest is history, really. We filmed the first DVD. I just showed him some bits. He said, it looks great. He followed me around for like, I think it was about 3 or 4 days, because we filmed a 2-disc set, and I just went into my local pubs, local bars, and just performed my material. And a lot of what people are still performing now has come from back then. It still blows my mind now to think that that's how it started, and all these people that perform my routines, just, you know, that's how it started.
You know what, I think that there's certain DVDs that are really influential, especially in the UK, for workers in the UK, and I think that your DVDs are right up there, you know, because so many people, it really was kind of groundbreaking. You and Matthew Dowden's DVD, Party Animal, they both came out at about the same time. And I remember watching them going, this is just great.
I loved it. I love that. Party Animal was one of my favorite DVDs of all time. There's a pattern here. You can see what sort of material, you know, we're all into, what we like. My stuff has always had to be real world. It's had to be easy to do. It's had to be impactful. And that's when we come up with the name of Step, you know, simple tricks, extraordinary power. And I was just trying to create magic that was as simple as possible. And like at the time, I was still speaking to Gary, and Gary was helping me refine some of these tricks and take away some of the moves to make them, you know, even more powerful, but yet easier to do. I've become a fan of that type of thing. And I remember absolutely crapping myself. So I've been on the, you know, we'd all been on the Magic Cafe at that point, and we'd all seen all those other DVDs and everything getting reviews and slated. And, you know, I was just like, oh my God, I'm putting material out, and I'm no one, you know, no one knows who I am. And I remember one thing Russ said to me, he always said to me, because I have no idea how everything will always go. He goes, but I could make you a household name in the magic community. And I remember the DVDs obviously came out, and I couldn't believe the reviews. I'll still look back now. I read them sometimes and think, oh, you know, that was a good time, because they just got amazing reviews globally. And I remember going to Blackpool the following year. So only a year after I went for the first time, and everyone was performing my material. And Strike was one of the go-to routines everyone was doing.
That's the thing. Is the Step system still available? Because there's going to be
kids
that are new into magic that might not have even heard of it. And really, they, you know, your material should be studied. It really should, by anyone who gets into magic.
Yeah, and I said that to Gary the other day, and I said, I think a lot of people have forgotten, you know, who I am, what I do, and what some of the old routines are. And there's always going to be a market of people that know who you are, know your material, if I ever released anything else. But I actually said that. I said, there's a lot of, not just my material, but there's so many amazing magicians out there who have released phenomenal material that most people are doing. They don't know where it comes from. And yeah, you know, that's just the way it goes, isn't it? I mean, they are still available, and you can get them. I know Prop Dog sell them, Alakazam sell them. I think they're available most places, but they're quite hard to get hold of, and I think they're quite expensive. So for some reason, unknown to me, the price just went up on them, and they were quite a hard set to get hold of.
Well, you mentioned strike, which I think at one point every single worker in the UK was doing that at every single gig. You know, you couldn't go to a gig and pull out a lighter without somebody going, "I've seen that one." For those people that haven't seen it, could you? It's not, this interview is not going to be about you performing magic, but could you show everyone that?
I can show strike. I have it here because I spoke to Gary and I did say I was going to do it on here actually because I spoke to him yesterday. I have to stand up for this, so excuse the awkward crotch shot. And I'll be honest with you, we'll talk about this in a bit. This is one of the routines that I love, but I don't perform so much anymore. But I will we'll talk about that why after. But this is what it looks like. And I hope that, can you see that okay on the camera there?
I know it's,
it's quite small. So we've got one of these lighters and we've got a logo on it, as you can see there. All I actually have to do is take the logo here and just pull that logo off like this. I can just throw it back on. We just take the logo, we just pull the logo off, and we can just throw it back on. It comes off like this, it just goes straight back on. But I'll show you how it works. I cheat. I have another lighter over here. I have one with a logo and one without. They jump across. You can see that on the camera there. It goes from here to here. From here to here, you actually just shoot them across like this and they change places. You just jump across just like this, just like so. If I just put these together, you actually get four logos. Of course, you can rub them in the fingers, you can rub them off, and you actually end up with two blank lighters, just a shape and they come right back. If you rub these on the sleeves like so, you get one with and one without, and you can hand those up. And there you go.
Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And that actually, with what you said earlier on, that brings me, I asked people to give me questions for you, and I've been inundated with questions. And one question I actually got touches on what you just said there, which is, how does Lee, what's Lee's favourite routine to perform and why? But then what's his favourite routine that he doesn't perform anymore and why?
Great questions. Love questions like that. And there's a deep answer to these if you want to go into detail on them, but we'll keep it simple. My favourite routine to perform is Ambitious Card. Okay, I know it's, I probably shouldn't say it because there's so many routines I love, but it's my go-to effect. In some form, I perform it in team building, in trade shows, in my weddings, at events, whatever I'm doing, there's some form of Ambitious Card involved. And for me, it's my favourite effect because it's so modular. I've created so many routines around it, and it will be the thing I always perform. And I don't know why we lose track of some of the things we used to do. It's like strike was my favorite routine for a long time. But for me, it's just one of those things that over time, you know, it's just yourself sometimes. You fall out of love with it, because I do love that routine. And that was to me, that was a very ropey performance compared to how slick I used to be with that. I could toss these things around and catch them, and it was amazing. But I just don't perform it much anymore. I don't really know why. Other things have taken place. I think over the years, and this will touch base later, as I've transversed into a different world, some of the routines, you know, I have to do those because they just work better. Strike's perfect for weddings. It's great for sort of restaurants and bars, and it's very visual, as you can see. That's why I want to do that one on the camera as well, because it's such a visual routine. I love visual magic, but I think other things come through, not my material, but other people's material, and I just prefer them, you know. And then down the line, that might drop off slightly, then strike might come back. I did a phase last summer where I was doing strike quite a bit. I moved into doing it combined with Chad Long's Flash, and I combined the two, and it was an amazing little routine. But then a couple of weeks later, I'm back to doing that Ambitious Card and Extreme Burn again. I guess I chop and change and I do what works. But I think I've just found a set that now, over the last few years, works so well for me. And I think sometimes the routines I used to love, they're in a different place. And there's a place for them, and I still love them, but they're just, I'm comfortable now that I can walk into any place, any building, any venue, any event, with a pack of cards and, you know, an Ambitious Card routine, and a mobile phone, I can entertain for an hour, you know, without stopping. And that's kind of why. There's no real rhyme or reason to it. For me, it's just a case of it used to be my thing and something else just takes place. When you're performing so much and you're so busy, you know, you need to change sometimes. But for me, Ambitious Card is the one thing I just don't ever seem to get bored of. I never seem to need to go back to anything else. You know, for me, that's probably why it's become my favourite effect.
And I think it's really important to constantly re-examine the material that you do, because just because something works for you at one point in your career doesn't mean it's going to work for you later on in a different...
Exactly.
And on the subject of performing, obviously you used to do a lot of bars and restaurants. You don't now. We're going to get into that. But we had a question, which I want to ask you, which was from, I can't find it. It was about pocket management. I'm trying to find the question now, but it was about pocket management. Basically, somebody wanted to know if you had any advice on pocket management, which is something that a lot of magicians struggle with, especially when they're new and they try to carry absolutely every single trick that they've ever bought with them. So have you got anything that you could share with that?
My biggest advice on that is don't try and carry too many tricks. Pick the two or three effects that you love and take those, and find a place where you can get to them quickly. That's how I did it. For me, my pocket management is so important to me, and there's nothing worse, let's be honest. It's a nerve-wracking thing when you're not used to doing it. You're standing in front of people, or oh, where's my pen? Where's my card? Where's my double-decker? But you don't want that going on. You want a seamless transaction so your act flows. So for me, I know that pack of cards here, I've got Omni deck here, double cross in my inside pocket, and in my back pockets I've got either my jumbo coins or maybe have something like strike. But you know what the rest of the pockets are full of? Business cards and giveaways. For me, that's way more important. I always know where every single thing is in my pocket management, and for me it is so important. But I think, like, exactly what you said, you hit the nail on the head. The reason they struggle is because they have four decks of cards in one pocket, five in another one. You know, you can't be just, you've just got to keep it simple. Take three or four effects max. That's all you need. And just work on the performance of those three or four effects. It was Sean Goodman that once said to me, he goes, Lee, you're a phenomenal magician. You know, you're very good at what you do. You're doing so much stuff. He goes, you can travel the world on two tricks. Just do those two tricks really well. And that made me go home and reevaluate. You know, maybe I should have listened, maybe I shouldn't. But I did listen to him and I went away and I went, you know what? What two or three things do I love the most? And at the time, I think it was strike, it was a few other things. Next thing you know, I went out, I was lighter, I had way less stuff on me. I was getting the same, if not better, reactions. And over 3 to 6 months of doing that, the performance was honed perfectly. And add things as you need them.
And one of the things I really liked about the material that you released when you were creating material is a lot of it just used a regular deck of cards. Like I put on the channel a couple of weeks ago a performance of your TNR, which I still do to today, because it's literally, if I just have a torn card in my back pocket, I'm ready to go. And it's that sort of thing that, you know, if you can do 30 or 40 completely different, really amazing tricks with just a deck of cards, well then you don't need to worry about pocket money.
I think this is where, like, inspiration from working with so many amazing magicians comes from. It's like, I've always been a big believer that you have to reach out to people. And I think that's probably why, we'll talk about it later, I ended up doing what I was doing now, because I loved Gary's style. I loved Chris Congreve's style and many other magicians, you know. And I remember just like thinking, I want to do magic like that. So I'd hang around with these people that would teach me the most powerful magic, or I'd learn from, you know, the most visual magic. It's like, if you hang around people that make loads of gimmicks, you're probably going to end up doing loads of gimmicks, right? But hanging around with someone like Gary, I learned loads of impromptu magic that was really powerful and simple to do. And everything I've ever created going forward has to fit that criteria. I've never been a stage performer. I've never been anyone other than a close-up performer. So my material has to hit hard, has to be easy to do, has to be visual and impactful, and it's got to be memorable. And if it doesn't fit that criteria, I don't put it out. It's as simple as that. You might need a double backer from time to time, or something thin you can keep in a wallet or in a back pocket. But pretty much 99.9% of my material requires a regular deck of cards and it's instant reset. Or you can reset it, walk into the next table. Mm-hmm. And if you can't, I won't release till I've found a way generally you can do that. And that, to me, is really important. But that's just luck in the fact that I went into doing magic visually for people straight away. There was no sort of like hobbyist as such doing it on friends and family and on my own. I was out there performing from the day that I started.
Well, I want to ask you a question. You've mentioned Gary and Chris quite a few times, and obviously Gary's been interviewed on this channel already.
That was a great interview.
Oh, he's amazing, isn't he? My question is, how important do you think it is having other magicians around you when you first get into magic, if you want to become a professional or semi-professional? Because you've talked about how you didn't know if you were good or not, but, you know, I know that Gary and Chris have been a big influence on your career, especially in the beginning. Do you think it's important to find like-minded magicians that you can kind of bounce ideas off?
I really do. I think for me, my magic didn't excel until I did that. As I say, I met Gary and I met the others at Blackpool. Next thing you know, it was Rust and it was DVD project. Then it was where I am now. So you have to be around other people. Don't get me wrong. People might want to learn it for a bit of fun as a hobby, be a bedroom magician. That's fine. But I think if you want to take it to the next step, you've got to collaborate and work with other magicians. And, you know, I think you've just got to do that. I think it's really important. and I don't think I enjoyed magic as much until I met other people. It's just those ideas you can bounce off each other, you know, like, I'll do that again, or show me this, or how'd you do that? And it's just, that's what magic is, isn't it? It's just this expanding evolution of creating new material and working with other people and learning from others, and I love that. And again, I guess I was quite lucky because I learned a lot of my original magic from books and VHS videos back then. There's no internet, but it's, you know, for me, that's how I learned. I went to go and get these lectures and I'd be like, what hits hard? What's easy to do? You know, and I wouldn't have had that knowledge if I didn't collaborate with other magicians in the first place to get my foot in there. So I think you have to network and collaborate with other magicians, and you will learn so much more from working with other magicians. And I didn't grow as a magician until I did that. So I think, yeah, it's really important.
Doesn't matter how good you are, there's always somebody out there that's better, right?
Oh, somebody way better. You will never be good. When you know, I always feel like sometimes I feel like I'm a competent magician, but I never feel like I'm a really good magician, because I've just worked with really good magicians and I'm like, wow. You know, it's for me, you've just got to be yourself. That's the key. I think it's great to hang around with other magicians, but don't be them. You've got to find your own persona. That's another really important point. As long as you find your own persona, you can take somebody else's sort of like, you know, ideas or the way they structure a routine, but be yourself when you perform it, because no one can be you. And there's nothing worse than a, you know, copycat magician trying to put on this false, the audience know that. So you've got to be you. Have fun, learn from other magicians, collaborate with them, but go out and be you. And that's really important.
That's great advice. I want to, in a bit, we're going to be talking about how you moved away from sort of that side of magic, but I want to kind of just address a couple of questions that I've had, first of all. And the first one is from a guy called James Jones, and he asks about your probably the last thing that you ever released, which was your Facebook app. And he said, I'd love to see Lee bring back the social media magic app Facebook prediction. It was my favorite app and it got amazing reactions.
It was my favorite app as well at the time. It was this would be a good place to hopefully tell a few people what happened there, because I know I posted about it and told people, but I get a lot of messages about it all the time, and it's really frustrating because I want this app out more than anybody. We put this app out and I used it every gig. It did get amazing reactions. I absolutely loved it. I performed it myself. It wasn't one of those things I released and didn't really do. I did this. It was a staple in my act. And unfortunately, because it used Facebook, they just kept changing the dynamics and more phones were coming out. And we worked so hard for about 2 years. We worked with no profit coming in out of our own pockets to keep funding this app, especially because I wanted it. I would have funded it for as long as I could because I used it myself. But unfortunately, I don't think we can ever release it again, just due to the fact that Facebook keep changing the layouts, they keep changing the text. And every time they do that, it doesn't work on the devices. So we were getting so many calls saying mine's out of line, somebody else's was perfect, and then the next week it would change again. It was literally, we have to update it every single week, and that was nearly impossible.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, thank you so much to everyone that bought that and that used it and got the use out of it. And if I ever find another way, and I will revisit it, because I'd love to find a way of maybe having a static page, but that would be phenomenal. So apologies and thank you.
It was awesome. The other question I've got, and I think you're going to struggle answering this because you're a very positive guy, and this is asking you to think a little bit negatively, but is there a particular routine that you hate and why? And also, is there a routine that you liked and now you don't like it? So it's not just that you don't perform it anymore like Strike, but you actively don't like it.
No, I don't think there is, to be honest. I don't think there's any routine, like I say, I hated, because if I've ever performed it, at some point I liked it. And I wouldn't even look at anything if I wasn't interested in it. But I think I'm a big believer that in what might not work for me will still work really well for somebody else. So I couldn't say I hated anything. In context, I don't like sponge balls. I don't perform it. But I know that it's one of the most popular tricks out there. Everybody else loves it. I have done it, get good reactions with it. I don't hate it. I don't perform it. But everyone goes, why don't you do it? Do you hate it? I'm like, no, not at all. It's just not for me. And there's a lot of effects like that. But for me, I couldn't say I hated any effect, because even if I hated it, somebody else is going to love it. And that's just the way it works. So yeah, I can't really answer that one, you know, without being honest, really. There's nothing I hate.
And I got one last question while we're talking about all the different stuff you released, and there's been a lot. Can you give anybody some advice on creativity, on how to create a magic trick? What process did you use to go through? I mean, you're still creating now, but you're not releasing. But what process do you go through when you're creating a trick?
Backwards is the answer for that one for me. I've always taken an outcome or an effect and reversed engineered it. I've always seen other effects that I love, and I think that would be better if it ended this way, but I'm not going to copy that routine, so I'll create my own method. So for me, the process always starts with an idea. I'll give you an example. I think when we was out with Gary once, when he came up with Noted, who might have seen Noted, the effect Noted with a pack of cards changes into a notepad. I think that came about because we was out, or Gary was out, and the waitress said, oh, can you turn this into a pack of cards and pass the notepad over? And then that's how kind of how the ideas for me start. Someone will challenge me to do something and I'll find a way to do it. I think that's how the Facebook app came up. Someone said, oh, can you make it appear on a Facebook page? And okay, got the idea, and we sort of like go create it backwards. So for me, I've always worked backwards, always. If I see something I like, I've always loved the mystery card plot. But for me, it wasn't about just changing a card to another card or the card being on the table. It had to be more than that. So it's like, how can I get this to happen? So for me, I just always come up with an idea and then reverse engineer it multiple times, then streamline it, and then take out all the moves. So it's always been quite a long process. Some routines have come to us just like that. Others take a lot longer. But for me, I always, and that's probably what helped me become a good problem solver with the corporate clients I work with now. It's like we start with the problem and we work backwards and we'll find a solution to fix that. And I think that probably comes from my creativity as a creator in magic, because you know from creating magic, it's not an easy thing and you always run into lots of problems and this doesn't work or the angles are bad. So it's like, it takes a long time sometimes to perfect an effect. So for me, my process is always start with where I want to be and then work backwards rather than just do it as I go.
Okay, so you've gone from having an interest in magic to being a semi-pro to being a pro. You've started releasing products. Everybody is using your material. Everyone's loving it. It's like, oh my gosh, Lee Smith is amazing. I saw you appearing on other people's DVDs. You're very much in demand. And then all of a sudden, you literally disappeared off the face of the planet when it came to the magic community. No more releases, no more products. You seemingly vanished overnight. So let's talk about what happened there and how you transitioned from where you are to where you are now and your thinking behind it.
Okay, so again, it's quite a long story and a lot of things happened on this journey. For me, I was performing for a long time. I was a busy magician. You know, I was working, you know, pubs, weddings, parties. Wasn't doing big stuff. I had done a few big events here and there, you know, that just come up and, you know, lead you to these places. But I was just a busy party and sort of wedding magician. And I just realized that I kind of wanted more. I love the magic community and just want to point out, I'd never ever turn my back on the magic community. I've got so many friends in the magic community and I love the magic community. And I never ever meant to kind of just drop off the face of the earth, which I kind of did, but I never meant to do that. I've got so many friends in magic and I always have a connection with it. And I'll probably will release more routines at some point. But for me, I wasn't charging big money for my gigs back then. I wasn't probably doing the things I should have been doing. I didn't know much at all about business. I was just this happy-go-lucky, performing, good networker. Always been a good networker. I could say that without any arrogance. I've always been an amazing networker, and that's what kept me busy. So I was meeting people, talking the talk, and getting more work. I was a busy performer, but I wasn't making enough money. I wasn't doing the things I knew I could be doing. I'd seen people doing more. I just wanted more. My wife got pregnant, and we ended up having our first child, and I was like, okay, I've got to up the game here. I've got to sort this out. I've got to do this properly. You know, if I want to be this professional magician, because I had all the, you know, the family members, not my parents or my wife's parents, but other people saying, oh, you've got to get a real job. You've got to, you know, you all that nonsense you get. And I was like, no, I can make this work. You know, I'm earning money. I can earn more money. I can do this properly. I can make this my career, a full-time career. It can be successful. And I've seen others doing that. And I was like, how do I do this? So it just got to a point in my life where I had to make change. You know, that I love creating, but there was no real money in releasing products, because you release a certain amount of things and you've got to go through the process again. And I didn't have the time or the capacity at that time to keep creating. So I was like,
carry on. I want to labor that point here, because I really do. Before you carry on with the story, let's not gloss over that, because the amount of people that I meet, especially since I've started this channel, that say to me, oh, I want to be a creator of magic. I want to be the next Jay Sankey. I want to be the next Greg Wilson. I'm like, why? And they were like, oh, I want to be rich. Let's dispel that myth right now, shall we? You aren't going to get rich from being a magic creator. And unless you've been through that process, you just don't know. Would you agree that?
I'd agree. It's fun. you can make money out of it, and it'll tidy you over every now and then. A great product that has a good run will give you some income, but you know, there's no way you're not gonna buy a house on it. I mean, certain people probably have done over the years, have done certain things. But I think as a creator releasing DVDs and, you know, back in the day, small projects, they do well, they make you look good, but they don't pay the bills like a gig does, or like multiple events do, or trade shows, etc. So yeah, I'd have to agree with you. I know people have done it, and there's people that do it, and obviously everyone's circumstances are different, but I knew at the time that my mortgage was going up, I had my first child, and since then I've had twins, and that's actually part of the journey. I'll talk about that in a moment. But yeah, so for me, I just wanted more, and cut a sort of, again, a chunk out here. Again, it was Gary at Blackpool, I think it was about 3 years prior, introduced me to a guy called Trevor Lyley. Some of you may have heard of, some of you won't have heard of, but Trevor was probably the most successful magician in Europe, and no one had ever heard of him, because he literally kept himself to himself. He was doing trade shows, like big presentations. He was essentially a magician that had gone presenter for trade shows, and he was doing training for like companies like HP and Cisco. And met him at Blackpool, lovely guy, got chatting, and it was him that I reached out to. And I basically said, I'd love to pick your brains, chat for a coffee one day. I'd love to find out a bit more about what you do and how you do this. I'm interested in this world, and I think I've got what it takes, and I want more. You know, I want to learn about this business of magic and corporate presentations and doing bigger corporate jobs. So I want to find out about it. Didn't know if I was ever going to do it, but I wanted to find out a bit more about it. And I had this idea that I wanted more than what I was doing. And I reached out to Trevor, and then a bizarre thing happened. And this all happened in the same sort of space of time. My wife fell pregnant with twins. So my meeting with Trevor got put on hold a little bit. And my twins was very premature. And towards the end of my wife's pregnancy, we had this condition called TTS, which is a really difficult condition where we nearly lost the twins a couple of times. It was horrible. And we went through a really ropey period where I couldn't really work very much. I had to be at home, and there was lots of things going on. And it was Ben Hanlon. I'll just go back a little bit, because what happened here was, after everything went on, the twins was actually okay. We had like pioneering surgery, and twins were, you know, touch wood, everything was fine, and they're happy and healthy now, which is great news. But it was a really ropey time. I couldn't do very much for a while. And just as getting myself back on my feet, Ben Hanlon called me up, and I knew of Ben from other events I've been to and worked with in the past. And he just said, Lee, at the time he couldn't tell anyone, but he's like, I've got this TV deal, I've got a lot of work I need covering, would you cover it? So Ben was kind of like this savior for me, and sort of like I started working with Ben, did a lot of covering Ben's jobs at the time. And that was when I met Spencer, because Spencer Wood was also covering jobs for Ben. He was doing work all around, you know, Kent and that area. I was doing Hertfordshire and sort of Solihull and a little bit around that way. There's other people working covering his jobs as well, but he basically called on a few people, and I was one of them. So in this interim, I got a bit busy, I was doing Ben's work, and then Trevor then touched base with me again and said, Lee, I haven't heard from you, what happened? So I told him, sorry, I didn't get in touch, blah, 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 blah. And he said, look, I'm free on this day, come and meet me. So I went to this meeting with Trevor, thinking I was going to pick his brains, he was going to tell me all this stuff, and I was going to nick all this information and go off and be an amazing magician. In fact, the opposite happened. He absolutely destroyed me. He just basically sat there, and not in a not nasty way, but he made me realise that I knew nothing. He was telling me all these things. I was listening. He was asking me questions, putting me on the spot for questions I couldn't answer. And I was like, this guy's serious. This isn't just about magic tricks and having a bit of fun. This guy is serious, and he's very good. But I loved it. I didn't come away not. I came away inspired. So I was like, I want to learn more. So I met up with him again. And after a while of pestering, Trevor agreed to train me. And at this point, I was working with Ben. So I was getting some nice work through Ben. I was getting some interesting projects, getting on a better circuit. And Spencer Wood had always done some amazing jobs. He always charged good fees and done big jobs. So he was giving me work as well. That's how our relationship started. So a lot of little things happened in the chain from me meeting Trevor, and Trevor basically agreed to, you know, spend about 6 months training me and spent a lot of time with him. And yeah, I learned everything. I was going to meetings with him, watching him at trade shows. And I remember actually being at a trade show, doing my hospitality bit on a stand up we all do, where you do a few tricks, you're a bit of a gimmick, you pull people in. Around the corner, I just hear this crowd shouting and cheering. And I've gone around there, and Trevor's up there on a podium with about 100 people around him doing this presentation. Like, I was just like, wow, you know, I think this is amazing.
An important thing to say here is every single magician that's ever got to a point where they built their own website, they probably put on their trade show magician, thinking, oh, this would be really easy. I'll just turn up and do magic tricks. And I think that what you've just said there is so important, because if you're going to do something, you have to do it right. And it's why I've never really done trade shows, because I know that I don't know enough. I would probably be the guy that's standing on the corner trying to get a couple of people in. And I know that that's not how it's done. And the fact that you're there saying, oh, I spent 6 months training and I was doing this and I was doing that, that's how you take things seriously. It's almost like taking one step back to take, you could have just said, I don't need this guy. I'm going to put it on a website that I'm a trade show magician. But you wouldn't be where you are now if you'd done that. You know, it's about, you know, taking one step back to take five steps forward.
This is it. And I learned so much about business. I realized that magic meant nothing. You didn't have to be a great magician. You didn't have to be, you know, technically brilliant. You had to be good with people. You had to be a good salesperson. And I hate the word sales, but this is kind of what I started learning. I started learning how to influence, how to, you know, make my magic a solution. And one of the biggest things I realized very quickly was I've got this amazing tool. And rather than just go and do parties and events, Trevor taught me about making magic a solution. He goes, how do you make your magic a solution for a corporate company, for a team build, for a conference, for whatever it might be? So I started looking at everything in a completely different mindset, completely different light. But then, of course, I started hanging around with his clients and his clientele. So I started hanging around with entrepreneurs and, you know, CEOs, and learning a lot about business. And I don't know it all, and I'm still learning now. You know, this 6 months training wasn't like 6 months and then you go and do these events. This has been going on for since 2014, I think. So, you know, it's, and they're still learning all the time. But that world takes you into another area of, you hang around with speakers and trainers and coaches. And it's just, I got more addicted to learning business and learning all this entrepreneurship than I did learning magic. So that's kind of where the route I went down, and I'm still addicted to that now, you know, and I never have enough knowledge. I never know it all. And that's what I love about it. And I still don't class myself as this super successful business person, because in the circles I hang around with, I'm a small fish. But for me, I've done well as a magician because of the time and effort I've put in, the people that I've met, and the journey I decided to take. But that's not for everybody. It's a very difficult journey. You know, there's a lot to learn, and you've got to keep on it all the time. And you know that because you do it. It's not easy.
It's not. And I think it's a decision that you have to make. You can become a magician and make a good living from just going out and doing weddings and restaurants and being a resident magician in a restaurant and doing all that sort of stuff. You can make a decent living, but you always wanted more. I mean, I know the sort of events, I know you're not the sort of person to brag, but the sort of events that you do now, you can be at an event for like a day or half a day and you could be making 20, 30, 40,000 pounds. It's like next level stuff, you know, and I think it's a decision that people have to make, isn't it? What are you wanting out of your magic?
And it's all out there, you know. And I remember the first sort of like bigger events that I did, thinking, how can a magician slot into this? I'm just a nobody. I'm a small fish in a, you know, massive ocean. There's all these amazing people. But what I realized is our skill is so adaptable. You know, magicians have this amazing power, this engaging tool that can just break down barriers. It can engage people on multiple levels. It can make things memorable. So for me, it was very easy to just go, watch this. All I've got to do is make it about somebody else and make it help it fix their problem. And very quickly, it just took off. It was just knowing these things. This is very simple when you know it, but it's just knowing these little tiny things that you go and put into practice and start trying them out in different ways. It's like, even example, I'll give you an example in the wedding market. All the knowledge I had in the corporate and business market was like, I don't want to be a wedding magician anymore. I want to be the wedding magician. How can I add so much value? Because I knew they didn't really want a magician. They want the perfect wedding day, right? So how do I make that happen? So I started adding in Toastmaster service, where I could be a solution for a full day. So I was doing all the usual bits, the photos, drinks between the courses. Then I was announcing them into the room, announcing the speeches, doing best spoke things for the couple. I sold a 4 day package. I'm one of the first magicians that I knew of that was doing that. I've taught it to a lot of people since. And I'm a big believer we've got to share and help each other. You know, all got to help each other up through the ranks, because I have to learn this. Everyone else has to learn it. And people need the knowledge, right? So I'll always share. But for me, it was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, I wouldn't have thought of doing that 4 or 5 years ago. I learned it somewhere else. It's like, well, okay, I want to do team building. How do I do that? What problems can I solve for a team with magic? You reverse engineer the journey and you go, right, let's find a way to do that. And I come up with 3 team build packages, which I'm still doing now, a half day, a full day and a weekend. And, you know, it's taken me around the world. It's been amazing. And then also the trade show business after a while really took off. doing a few of those on my own with other people. I ended up working for a short time. There's still sort of like a website on hold in the background, but working with Mark Paul and Nick Einhorn, Pete Wardell, we had a group given to us by Trevor, actually, called the Trade Show Magic Group. But unfortunately, we've all been so busy, it's very hard to get those things going. So I set up the Audience Magnets, which is my other trade show business with Spencer Wood. And we do some lovely work together, what we did before Rona.
And I've got a lot of questions that people have actually given me about business that they want you to answer. My first question, actually, would you ever go back to creating? Because I imagine, even though you've immersed yourself in business, which I know that you have, you've been still creating, I'm sure you have, because you're the sort of person that can't help yourself, even if it's creating stuff for a particular client, or what do I need to do in order to put this message across? Would you ever release anything else to the magic community ever again?
I'd love to, and I actually had this conversation with Gary yesterday, and I said we should do something. Now, my knowledge isn't where it was in the creating sector, and like you look at someone like Gary or Chris is still coming out with stuff daily. I'm like, how are you doing this? You know, it's just crazy. But yes, I would still create. Yes, I probably will still create at some point. And at the moment, I'm very tempted. So I've obviously got some time back while everything's on hold. Yes, I would. I don't feel like I'm a very competent creator these days because my brain just doesn't seem to function in that area. But like you say, my brain has been working in the corporate market. So we've been creating things at the moment for product launches, because I know there's going to be a big market for product launches when this comes back to normal. So I've been sort of using my magic to create bespoke routines for clients at the moment. But sometimes when you do that, you do come away with a routine that you can then use. We've created a lot of things for different clients. Unfortunately, though, a lot of them have come from ideas of other people. So I'll have to really have a think about how to, you know, reconstruct them to make them my own and come up with a different ending, etc. But we have got a lot of stuff we have created over the last 2 or 3 years, and again, those things have taken us around the world. But yeah, I love creating, but I'm more doing it in the corporate sector. But I think I would love to do another DVD, but I generally believe that at the moment I don't have enough material, I don't have enough creative ideas in the magic world. And I think I'm a little bit out of touch with it as well. I mean, I've literally been doing the same sort of routines, other than the best book stuff. I've been doing the same things for a couple of years now, and I add the, maybe longer, and I add the odd thing in, but that's it, you know.
You know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see you, Chris Congreve, and Gary Jones getting locked in a room together for a week, and then seeing what happens at the end of it, and film that whole thing, because you did loads of stuff with Gary, and Chris did loads of stuff with Gary, but I don't think you ever did anything with Chris.
We've collaborated on a few ideas, and we've all got different routines on each other's DVDs, and we've never done a project together. I think, we've always just thought the three's a crowd, I think, but, you know.
Somebody keep you in a room, lock you in there with food and drink, and that's it, and then see what happens a week later.
What sort of drink? Because Gary will be, if you put beer in there, you won't see Gary for the rest of the week, so. But yeah, I mean that is how that would be amazing. I'd love to do that. The lockdown project, the locked up project.
There's got to be a magic producer somewhere that's watching this. Make that happen.
Least I'd be up for it. I'm in. If the other two are in, I'm in. So
right, I'm making some phone calls after this. I'm going to make this happen.
Shout them out. But yeah, but you know, I love it because I love learning. I'd love to get back into watching that creativity. I learned so much making eye candy. That was such an amazing project to work on. I learned so much on that DVD. And thank you, but I never really ever said this to you, thank you for the Wizard product review, because you gave it 98%. So that was amazing.
Amazing. And it still is. It's still the best. It's still the best.
Was it 100%? Was it 99% or 100%? I can't remember. You gave it a really good score.
It's still the thing that I recommend to everybody right now. If you're new into magic and you want to know how to be a working magician, I recommend 5 DVDs, and that's one of them. And you know, it's amazing the amount of people that don't do it. I was speaking to Owen Strickland the other day, and Owen was talking about how basically 60% of his working set is off eye candy, you know, and Owen's one of the busiest wedding magicians in.
Yeah, Owen's great. It's all about just, you know, working with amazing people. Like I said, that project would never have come about if I didn't get to meet Russ, didn't get to work with Gary. I mean, we wouldn't have made that connection. We wouldn't have been on the same path, because it's very easy to go off down your own route sometimes, do your own thing. But for me, like you said, it's about collaboration. I'm massive on the subject of collaboration. I love networking, collaboration, and I love learning, you know, and I've become a better person and a better magician from hanging around with people like that and working on those projects. You learn so much. You make a lot of mistakes, but you learn so much. You know, and just doing, I think eye candy being so popular and such a big DVD was, that was when I kind of went, right, this is, I don't think we can top this, you know. There's that whole, like, that was kind of when I was winding down a bit as well and going the other way a little bit with what I was doing. Not completely at that point, but I think that was maybe one reason I made the transition, because, you know, you release a certain amount of material, I'd almost want to go out on a peak, if you like, and just,
But I think when it comes to collaboration, you know, you've mentioned Spencer Wood. I've mentioned Owen Strickland. Those are two people that I bet 99% of people watching this has never heard of before, but they are so amazing. They are so absolutely amazing at what they do. And you don't have to be, what I'm trying to say here is, don't just try and seek out the creators of magic, because a lot of the people that go out and work and are the workers, they're the people that, you know, have the real knowledge, you know what I mean? And Spencer and Owen are two perfect examples.
Yeah, well, the people that helped me most in the business world, no one's ever heard of, ever. You know, a magician would never know who they were, you know, nor would maybe some business people, but yet they're the ones that helped me more than anybody. And, you know, you just got to go out and find people that you know, do the things that you do and learn from them and, you know, share. It's all about just growing together. And that's how it works. And I find it fascinating. I've met so many amazing people in so many different walks of life and different industries. You know, I love it when you go to magic convention, everyone's on the same path. You go to like a speaker's event and everyone's on the same level. You go to like a trade show and it's completely different. Like, I just love different environments. I don't want to be someone that's stuck in the same thing, doing the same thing all the time. And I think that's another reason I wanted to do so many things, but they had to be linked to magic. And I learned very quickly that whatever I did, we tried a few things we failed at. You know, I tried, like, I do a lot of work now with Paul Martin. Paul Martin and John Enza do a lot in Norway. Paul Martin's just a phenomenal conference host. But I tried it and I couldn't do it. I was crap at it and I cocked a couple of events up. I did it for the money, not for the passion. And I thought, this isn't me. So I just collaborate. Who can do this? Who can come in? Like, Paul, let's work together. You come and do all the conference hosting. I'll do the close-up, or I'll do whatever we're going to do, a presentation, a product launch, you know, and we just all gel together. And that's how you make a big noise. It's not about being greedy. It's not about competition, because competition doesn't exist. It's about collaboration or staying as you are, right? So you only collaborate or you grow. And, you know, for me, I was like, right, this is fantastic. This is just, I've just got amazing people around me. And what do? When I go and watch people like that, I learn, you know, and that's what I love, you know. And yes, I probably could go and do a 15, 20 minute cabaret show. Never been for me. I want to do things I love. You know, if you want to be passionate about something, don't do it for money. Like I always say, if you chase money, you'll never find it, right? But if you're passionate about what you do and you add value to people's lives, it will find you automatically. It's just the way of the world.
Absolutely. I've got some business questions as we're on the subject of business. A lot of these questions are from David Fillery, but we've got, he's crossed over with a few other people as well. Let's see if we can touch on some of these. Because right now is, and I've talked about this on this channel, right now, if you're a magician, obviously you're getting limited chances to perform. Now's the chance to work on your business. So right now is a better time than any to work on your business, because at some point everything's going to bounce back, and why not put the systems and everything in place now? So let's talk about some business questions. So the first question is, what's the most difficult part of being a full-time professional magician?
I would say constantly keeping up with new ideas and clients. For me, I don't want to be someone that just sticks. I've got lots of the same clients I work with all the time, but I like to diversify and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. I like to see how big I can push things. So for me, I would say it's the constant amount of networking. If I could film a week of my life, people wouldn't believe what I get up to. Not before, yeah, before lockdown. Obviously, at the moment, it'd be pretty boring. But before lockdown, I've jumped on airplanes to go for meetings and then jump back again just to see if there's a connection there. That's what it takes sometimes to plant a seed or to meet someone. Because what we do is very difficult. So you have to keep showing people and educating people on what we do, especially their new clients. They might be recommended by somebody else. They don't get it. Like, how can a magician launch our product? How can a magician do this? So you have to go and do a lot of networking, a lot of meeting people, a lot of building the business. And it's just staying visible. I would say that's the most difficult thing, is just staying visible, being in front of all those clients. Like yourself, I'm not, you're an amazing marketer online. I have to pay people to do that. I'll do it myself. I'm not a very good online marketer. I'm visible. You can find my stuff everywhere, and I'm active. And when I go to events, I'm good at posting and tagging, you know, keeping the momentum moving. But for me, it's just building the network is a monumental, constant task. And that is the hardest thing. And that's what takes up most of my time. New connections.
That's great advice. And are there general life tips that have greatly influenced the business side of your magic? You know, like creating good habits, being more productive. Any advice on that?
So many little things. I could do a video on this. But my biggest one would probably be, and a lot of people say this because it works, is think big. Stop thinking small, think big. Now, anything's possible, and I'm proof of that, you know, if you like, because I'm one of those people, I failed everything at school. I can barely read or write properly. If I write an email out, it's got punctuation mistakes. Yeah, I've got a published book, you know, with me and Spencer published authors. I've, you know, achieved things I didn't think were possible just by understanding that it's achievable and think big. Everything I do, it's like, let's give you an example. I want to be a wedding magician. I want to be the wedding magician. I want to be a magician at a product launch. No, I want to be the magician launching the product. It's think big. It's always put yourself outside the box and think of a way to get there. What would it take to do that? And that has worked very well for me. It's like I just think of the biggest thing I could do, the most unachievable task, and then try and hit it. And by trying to hit that, you're always going to hit bigger along the way, rather than go, well, I just want to go and just work in a pub or a bar, or I just want to go and do a small cabaret show. No, you want to be a global superstar with the biggest touring cabaret show that anyone's ever seen. And by going for that, you're going to make a lot more noise, right? And you have to find different ways to achieve that. So we have to think very, very outside the box. When we want to do product launches, I hope I'm not going to babble on too much here, but this is really important. We set ourselves a goal to launch a global product using magic tricks. And that should be an impossible task as an unknown. That's like what it's like if you're Dynamo or somebody, right? They can probably do that. But that's like us walking into Coca-Cola and going, we're going to launch your next product doing magic tricks. They're going to go, no, you're not. So we found a way to make this happen. Me and Spencer sat down, we mapped out a journey, we wrote our business plan, and we thought, what would we have to do? Who do we have to meet? And we just made connections. And eventually we got a product launch, then a slightly bigger one, and another one, and another one. And before you know it, in 1 year, we did 3 global launches for companies. And only because we set the goal to do it. And we thought big. We didn't want to just be the magicians performing at a product launch or doing the after event. We wanted to be the people doing the launch. You know, we were flown to Dubai to go and work for the Saudi royal family, the president of Dubai and the Trump family. You know, that was an unachievable thing, really. But we got that because we made enough noise, met the right people, and they put us in front of those people. Because you make noise.
It's the old expression, isn't it? You shoot for the moon and you'll reach the stars.
It's true. You know, you just got to think big. And I know a lot of trainers say it's a bit cheesy, but it's worked for me. And it's that whole understand why you're doing it. Don't do it for you. Do it for somebody else. That's the other big bit of advice. If you want to achieve something, you've got to help somebody else. People don't really... I know no one cares about Lee Smith. No one cares about Lee the Magician. They care about what you can do for them, right? But they will care about you once you've built that relationship with them. So I want to build... you know, community. I want to build people that want to share and collaborate with each other. And that makes me look good. I'm part of a lovely organization called Shift Momentum. They're a company that helps small businesses. And just by going in, I do a lot of stuff for free. Just by going in and helping them and helping others, soon someone has a link to something that linked to me, I get the call. Just because I've made connections and helped others, I put other people together. You know, we created this principle. And when I speak on the circuit and in my book, I call it Widify. And it stands for why I do it for you. And that is a game changer. When you understand why your passion or your solution is a solution for somebody else, when you get that and how to apply it, that's life changing. Because you stop doing it for you, you stop doing it for money, and you start making everything you do about value to somebody else or to achieve something or to make something possible. And it's just a way of thinking. You know, you've done this with your business. You know, you think different, you think bigger, bigger things happen, right? You hang around with different people. It's just the way of the world. And it becomes so addictive to me that I was just like, I can't believe this. This is kind of a really simple process, but it kind of just works. A very basic way to explain it is to go and watch, if no one's seen it, go and watch Simon Sinek's Golden Circle of Why and try and understand, you know, how people think. It's just an amazing concept.
But, and you know, for the magicians that are watching this, you're obviously operating on a very big scale that a lot of other magicians aren't anywhere near, but it can work on every level. So if you're
every level.
You know, we get so many questions on this channel saying, how do I get a restaurant residency? You know, when you approach the restaurant, don't make it about, I want a residency. Make it about, why would they need magic? You know,
exactly.
My business coach has always said, find out what people's pain is, because everyone's got pain, and then show them how you can take that pain away.
That's it. It's just fixing the pain points. I still do a residency now and then. I had this amazing restaurant called The Hermitage. In fact, many of the DVDs are filmed in there. Charles Play, The Unknown, they were all filmed in there in my old residency. And I still have that connection with them. And do you know what's just happened? I haven't worked with them for a few months, maybe on and off for the last couple of years. I've gone to the odd Sunday because I just love what I do. I still like going down there. They've just called me up out of the blue yesterday and said, Lee, we've got every Friday night at our new restaurant. Are you interested? Because I built that relationship with them, right? And they know what I do. They don't need a magician at the moment, probably the last thing they need because of the whole vibe, what's going on. But they know what I can do for them and they know what I can do for their guests. And they've clearly got an issue with people probably waiting on tables or waiting to come through. They've probably got some sort of system where people have got to wait to come in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they've got very small tables, very small numbers, and it fits within the numbers. And they've said, come and do something, you know, because when I got that residency, I said to them very clearly, forget the magic. I'm your secret weapon. I'll be able to find out where people have traveled from, incorporate some magic into your branding, give out your products, your menus, tell people about new deals that are coming down on nights out. You know, if you've got people waiting on the tables, a bit of a delay, you let me know, I'll go over there. You just got to find all the things. Whenever we work with a client, any client now, find every pain point that you know you can fit into a solution, and that's how you help them. Don't just go, I do this amazing trick because they don't care, you know. And it's a hard thing to get your head around sometimes. I remember like Trevor once always said to me, he goes, Lee, no one cares. Nobody cares. And he's absolutely right. And the sooner you accept it, you know, you get your head around that, it's, your life becomes a lot easier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's a question for you that's been sent in. How do you get in the mood to perform when external influences are worse? So, for example, lack of sleep, children, family bereavement, etc. Because obviously it's that old adage, isn't it? The show must go on. You've spent time and effort putting this product launch together. You can't turn around the day before and go, actually, I can't turn up. So how do you get into that headspace?
It's hard sometimes. I think I've always been very energetic, always been very on the go, 24/7. You know, I always say I work 24 hours a day, but I never work a day in my life because I love what I do. And that's just always come through. Like, no matter what situation is going on in the background, when I get out there in front of people, I perform. And I continue to do that. There are times it's really difficult. I lost my mum very suddenly a couple of years ago. She died 2 days before Christmas. She was quite young, my mum. And she was only ill for about 3 months and she was gone. She went from being fit and healthy to gone. And I was performing all the way through that 3 months. And I said to my mum, you know, I want to spend some time with you. You know, she was like, no. She goes, you love it. You know, don't sit here watching me walk away, you know, go and perform. And that was the toughest 3 months of my life performing wise. I had to go out there and, you know, put on this brave face every time. And I remember doing a job in Switzerland and I had to get on the plane. I was just in bits. And then you walk in the room, you do your thing. It's amazing. You're on a high for a bit and you go back again and you're in bits again, you know, but it's hard. There's no way around it, but the show does go on. You're a professional, you know, you've got to do what you've got to do. Don't get me wrong. If it got to the point where you're like, you have to take some time out, don't burn out. Don't ever do that. Family, always most important. Take time out, right? But I've always believed I can cope. And there's not been many, touch wood, many times like that, that I've had to like just really push through. But we all get it. We're all human. And you know, you have to do the show. But you say, show goes on, right? It's hard sometimes. But if that audience, if you've agreed to do that job, that audience deserves the best possible show. And that's what they're going to get. And probably the best way I can answer it, to be honest with you. It's great, not always great. Easy, but you've got to do it.
That's great advice. Now, Daniel Chard, who obviously you know is an amazing magician, he's asked a couple of questions specifically about the pandemic. Because obviously, you know, at the time of recording, for anyone that's watching this in the future, it's now October 2020. We've had 7 months now of pandemic and we're in a situation, especially in the UK, where there are limited chances to perform. It's still possible, but a lot of stuff is going virtually, you know, and there's certain rules and regulations the government are imposing, which makes it difficult for people to perform, especially at the type of gigs that you do. Corporates, trade shows, product launches, bigger events are an absolute no-no. You can get away with a few smaller private parties and restaurant residences, but a lot of the stuff that's the bread and butter of a lot of magicians is out the picture. Weddings gone for the most part. So Daniel's asked a couple of questions about this. So the first question is, how are you approaching your business during these weird times to maintain cash flow? Because obviously cash is king.
Well, it's a tough one at the moment because we're in such a difficult situation. And I've got three businesses, essentially, you know, one in speaking and conferences, one in weddings and events, and another one in trade shows. And all three are completely on hold. like, you know, most of your stuff. It's just a very difficult time for any magician, any entertainer, and any supplier. It's just a pants situation. And no one saw this coming. And I'd put lots of things in place already to kind of, you know, influence this year and like put into practice. So for me at the moment, I've realized that I'll step back a little bit. In the very beginning of lockdown, I put lots of things into place, ready to go again for around now-ish. But obviously we've been hit with another sort of, you know, 6 months of carnage. And it feels a little bit like everything I try and do gets stopped or you can't execute on it. And that's been very, very difficult. So a lot of the ideas I've had have not made any income whatsoever because they're already like for now and I can't do them again. Luckily, because I'd worked pretty hard and my wife has a very good job financially, we're okay for a bit. And, you know, who knows how long it's going to go on for, how long money's ever going to last. But I've definitely had to tighten the purse strings to what I'm used to. That's just the way it is. I've basically just been working on new ideas and staying visible. That's the best thing you can do at the moment, doing things like this, just helping others, you know, speaking to people. I'm still trying to network where I can. I've been doing a lot more work with Shifties, which is the company that helps small businesses. I've been helping them out with some training and some bits and pieces. I have diversified, doing a lot of online team building. That worked really well for me. I found a system for that that worked great. So that brings in, you know, decent income. When they come in, it's few and far between. I couldn't tell you I've got 10 gigs this week. It's nothing like it used to be. It's literally like I might get one or two inquiries. They might come off, maybe do one or two a month. So I'm doing some online team building. That's working well for me. I am working with another client at the moment in the training world, and we're actually putting together a course for magicians. He's been wanting to work with me for years, and I've always said, no, I'm too busy, I'm not interested, or I do my stuff live. But this become a time where we've sat down, he's shown me what he's capable of, and I've gone, this is incredible. So I'm actually going to work now. I've got the time with him, so I'm trying to do that. So it's just little things. I'm just literally plugging away and doing what everyone else is doing, really trying to find things to do. But what I have decided to do is stop stressing. I was so stressed out a few weeks ago. I was so fed up with it all. And I was trying all these things. It wasn't working. I was just getting myself in a state. So part of me has accepted it. I'm going to do the two or three things that I want to do that are linked to my passion. So that's team building, this course, and staying visible and networking. And everything else, I'm actually going, you know what? Sit back, chill out, spend some time with the family, try and enjoy it. Because there was a time not that long before lockdown where I was so stressed with traveling. I wanted time at home, you know, and we forget. So I think sometimes you've got to take the rough with the smooth. It's not easy. It's been a really ropey ride. I've never been so negative. I'll be honest, I'm not a very positive person, but the situation we've been in is really, you know, almost made me go, I don't know if I can be asked to do that. I don't want to do that, but you can't let that happen. You just got to keep going, find something to keep yourself occupied. You know, for us, we have no day jobs. We have nothing else we can go and fall back on. So it's be creative or sit around and do absolutely nothing. So I'm doing a bit in between the two.
And that brings me on to the next question that Daniel asks, which is, have you got any tips with ways to keep motivated with your magic and your business? You know, I've seen on Facebook a lot of magicians that haven't like picked up a deck of cards in 6 months. And, you know, they're just, I've seen so many magicians, unfortunately, that have stepped away from magic, probably never to return again because they've become demotivated with everything. So have you got any tips to stay motivated with both?
I'd say find something that relates to it. So for me, it was the team building. I was like, if I can find something I love doing that relates to what I do, I'm going to still be able to do it. So where I might have done more of a structured team build, a bit more business, a bit more sort of like a workshop, I would go, oh, let's perform and do a basic workshop, make it easy for them, make it simple, make it fun. And that lets me to do what I want to do. So that way I've got a solution where I can still perform, still do some of the things I want to do. If I go out and about and even a couple of people around, I tend to try and do some magic at the moment. Whereas I went through a phase where that was how I run my business. And I know Gary said this on the DVD, and it's so important. You should perform constantly everywhere you go. Meet people, perform. Completely agree with that. That's how you get where you get, right? But I went through a phase where I was busy and I didn't want to perform when I went out. But now, if I go out, I'm back to wanting to do some stuff. Just pop a pack of playing cards or take something with you that, you know, something you want to do to keep yourself doing it, because it's very easy at the moment to just not. If you're a part timer, I would say perform at work, perform for your colleagues if you can. You know, do it at distance, whatever you got to do, but try and perform as much as you can. Because I went through a phase of about probably 2 months where I didn't pick up the cards, got a bit low, and I was like, oh, what's going on here? This is not me. And then I was like, well, I can't do this. What else am I good at? I'm good at helping people. So that's when I reached out to Shift Momentum, started doing some stuff with them and helping some businesses, going on, doing some workshops, some coaching, going into their group. In fact, I'm on live with them next Monday. If you want to, anyone wants to check them out, check out Shifties community on Facebook. Feel free to join their group. They're an amazing page. Can give them a little plug. Pretty much everything they do is for free. They do, you know, events and things.
I'll put a link down at the bottom.
Please do, yeah, because at the moment they've never been more relevant because their sole goal is helping small businesses, and they've got this campaign running called Fuck You COVID-19, and it's just about helping small businesses and limited companies and entrepreneurs to get through COVID. And they're bringing in amazing people, amazing speakers, all online, all free, just to collaborate and learn from each other. They've got these like speed networking things. People can go and tell them who they are. You know, it's just great. And that's what I've been doing. It's just like find things that maybe not bring an income immediately, but I know that, again, from meeting these people, at some point when this gets back to normal, they're going to go, we've got a wedding with a magician. Oh, that guy that come and coached us on Shifties. You know, that's just how it works. So you just got to find things that you want to do that keep you visible. And for me, the income will either come from the course that I'm putting together, or it will come from things like the team building. But find what you love, because I'm not prepared when I'm in a bit of a lower state like I am at the moment. I'm not prepared to do something I don't want to do. And that's, I think, the worst thing you can do. I think if you go and create something you don't want to do, that's going to have a more negative effect. So find something you're passionate about and you'll do well at it. And, you know, put your effort into that.
Daniel has got one other question, which I think you've answered, but I'm going to ask it anyway, just in case you have anything that you can add to it. Do you have any tips on diversifying your skill set during periods of time where you can't perform like now?
I guess only from learning more or looking at things you want to do. Like, there's a few things I've wanted to learn. I haven't done it yet, I'll be honest, I'll put my hand up guilty. But there's a few things I want to diversify my skill set in. I want to learn more about sort of like click funnels and online advertising, things like that. And that's what I really want to learn. And I want to diversify my skill set down that route. But I've got to, of course, do that. And I haven't done it yet. I fell into that whole trap of doing the things I'm doing and getting a bit lazy in between. So, and normally that's not like me. I normally try and spend a bit of time on it if I like it, or pursue it, but that's something I'm going to do. So I think you've just got to actually just say you're going to do it. Yep. If you're going to diversify your skill set, I think you've just got to make a choice to do that. And maybe, again, I will do it, but I think I'm going to get to learn it working with this guy I'm working with anyway on this other thing we're doing. So hopefully I'm going to learn a bit about it there. I think you just got to make a decision. So I'm going to do it. I've got the time to do it, and I'm going to make it happen. And I was very good at that in early lockdown, because it was like me and Spencer had some things we had to work on for the audience magnet business, like some content and videos. And we've been saying it and saying it and saying it. But beginning of lockdown, straight away, we did those things. We put effort in, got all the branding, all the jacket. We did everything we needed to do. And it was really good having that downtime, because we made the choice. So I think if you want to diversify your skill set, or learn a new skill, or do something you said you were going to do and haven't done it, just pick one to keep it simple, but just go and do it, because, you know, it's going to be beneficial. We've got the time.
And you've talked several times about helping magicians and paying it back, and, you know, helping people move forward in their business. And you've talked about training that you've done for people on the wedding business side of things, but also on the trade show side of things. If somebody's watching this and they're interested in improving their business and they want to speak to you more about this, where would be the best place for them?
Just PM me. I mean, at the moment, I'm not doing masses of stuff. I've taken a very small handful of one-on-one clients throughout lockdown that I've been working with. Some lovely people. Again, met some amazing people I've been working with on a very basic level, not doing anything, you know, complicated, because I will eventually put everything into a bigger project, because that will be the next project that I probably do. But if we want to get in touch, they can reach out to me or join Shifties. You know, say a lot of it's free in there. It's not all about making loads of money. It's about helping people at the moment. And, you know, those things can all come down the line. It's just about building pipelines, helping people out, helping one another up. And I think people need to realize at the moment, we're in a very funny time, you know, and there's never been a more important time to help one another through the ranks and stick together and collaborate, because collaboration is huge topic, you know. And so many people, I see it quite a lot with magicians, but mainly in the wedding business, is the whole competition thing. And, you know, I hate all that. For me, I think it's all about collaboration, helping each other up, and it's never been a more important time. So anyone wants to reach out and learn how to do that, or put you in touch with the right people, just PM me, and I can put you in touch with some people or some groups.
Perfect. I've got a couple of other questions before we wrap things up, and one of these questions is, which got submitted, have you got a hilarious or funny story that you can share with us? Out of all of your years, the guy actually said on Facebook, out of all the years you've been performing, you've probably got some amazing stories. Is there a funny story you can share with us?
A few. I'm trying to think of the best one. I'll give you a good one that makes me cringe when I think about it. I was doing, I've got it here. I was doing Daniel Garcia's ring thing. You know, I put it on Step System. I got permission from Daniel Garcia to use his lovely routine, which is Ring on Band, if you've seen it. That band just snapped me getting along. So it's a great little piece to do. And I was doing this routine. I'll tell you what happened in just a second, but it's a very embarrassing story. And anyone that's seen me do this on DVDs and things like that would have seen me perform this hundreds of times and, you know, seen it always go flawlessly. And of course, there's times it doesn't. But the effect is you take a ring and you can just snap the ring and link it into the band, right? It's a lovely, very visual band on ring. And I'm there anyway. I'm at this gig. Just want to show you the effect while I had it there. So I've got this ring, got the thing, got everyone gathered around. I'm going, watch this. Come in close. And I've just got this ring. I'm doing this. And the band's just snapped. As my hands come back, the ring's just gone, right? Now, this vanish looked incredible. And everyone's gone, whoa, but the band has like, sort of pung off now everything's gone. And everyone's like, whoa, where did that go? They thought that was the effect, right? I now know that they've gone. And I just heard in the distance this ting, ting, ting. And I realised we're standing on deck in, right? And now this ring that I borrowed, it didn't look like a cheap ring, had flown off. It's gone flying through the air and it's gone down the deck in. And this is after quite a flawless, like seamless gig. And I'm just standing there cringing. Now you've got all these people going, that's brilliant. You know, where is it? Bring it back. And I remember just standing there going, yeah, I'll do that in a minute. And I remember bantering my way out of this effect, making it look like it happened on purpose. And then, of course, they sort of like slowly forgot about it. But the funny bit was at the end of the night when the woman came up to me, who obviously at the end of that set, I said, come and see me at the end. And I had to tell her the truth. I said, look, the band snapped and your ring's gone over there somewhere. I've got to go and find it. And she was cool with it. But later on, I'm there at the end of the event and they've got hammers and they're putting up the balls trying to get this ring out, and all the guests came back outside. At this point, I'm standing there and it's just like fringe. I remember just looking at them going, yeah, it went down the decking. They were all laughing and it was just like, oh, God. Oh. that's just one that always stands out for me.
But, oh, gosh. Oh,
cringe time.
Like every magician's worst nightmare right there.
We've all done it. You know, it happens.
I remember back in the day doing interlace, and you obviously know how interlace works. And the magnet, when it went down my trousers, the magnet didn't connect to the magnet in my shoe. And so I'm standing at a table and I'm performing, they think the ring's here. And it's actually, I see it just rolling away from me. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I make it disappear. They're like, where is it? And I go, I plan to say, it's appeared over there. And as I say that, a waiter walks into the kitchen and kicks the ring into the kitchen as they walk through the door. And I'm like,
oh no.
I was like, it disappeared and appeared in the kitchen. Wait there, I'll be back.
It's funny though, isn't it? I mean, you got to laugh. I mean, look, you can't do all these millions of performances and not get it wrong. You know, we've all made mistakes and that's just the one that really stands out for me, but that must have been painful. Did what happened at the end of it? Did you get it back? Or?
I was on my hands and knees looking for that ring for about 10 minutes. I had the client walk into the kitchen wondering where I was doing magic. I eventually found it and I came out and I brought it back over to the table. I was like, look, ta-da, there's your ring.
Wow, golf clap.
Yeah, I just let them own it.
Oh, dear. But, yeah. I remember, I'll tell you another one that was quite funny. When we were doing the gig in Dubai, actually, we were doing rehearsals and it was being filmed. And he'll remember this if he's watching it, but we were basically doing this thing where we were turning sand into pearls. And it was quite a long performance with multiple takes. We're doing this really serious take and it was being filmed. And I remember a guy in the distance, I'm there, there was me, Spencer Wood and Paul Fowler. And we're trying to do this serious face. It's going to be projected on a big screen and it was all being pre-recorded. And I remember literally in the distance, some guy, so I'm like, I don't know if he was a waiter or who he was. They had this big like veranda and there's this big water fountain. And this guy just like toppled over, fell into this thing in the distance, but only we could see it. But all the lights and cameras are on there. So I'm standing there going, trying to keep a straight face. But then Spencer just lost it. He's just like laughing his head up and it's all being filmed. I'm like, oh my God. Guy just fell in the pond, you know, in the waterfall. It's hilarious.
That's hilarious. Oh my gosh.
Oh dear. But you know, the timing on these things.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go through a career that's lasted as long as yours and not have some crazy moments, you know.
So many. And just working with Gaz again, doing the pranking, I mean, some of the things, I mean, Gary comes up with and some, you know, the fun we've had and the things that have gone wrong. Even when you're trying to prank, it goes wrong, you know, it's just like, it's just hilarious. But you've got to have fun with it. Don't take it too seriously. I think that's my biggest advice about any of it, you know, don't take it all too seriously. Just go and enjoy yourself. If you want to do the business stuff, obviously do it properly, but still have fun, you know, be yourself, just enjoy what you do and it will never feel like work.
That's the best advice I've ever heard. I'm gonna wrap things up with asking you one more question, and this is something I ask everybody, but it is very pertinent to you, which is, what's next? What's on the bucket list? I mean, look at what you've achieved. You've achieved so much. You've created magic. You've made a name for yourself in the magic community. You stepped away from that. You're now at the top of your game when it comes to, you've just said, you run three separate companies. You've constantly got stuff going on. What's next?
I don't know, because I never thought I would get here. You know, for me, it's just a journey. I just do these things. They just happen. Some work, some doesn't, some fails. You know, I don't feel, again, I know you hate the word, and I hate the word as well. I hate the word success. I don't feel successful at all. And I've realized that the more I've grown, the lesser I ever feel like that. Because I think the more you do, the more you actually want, and the more you realize you're never where you want to be. I don't really know, because I never thought I'd get here. I'm very happy that I have done some of the things that I've achieved. And I had to have a review actually of myself not long ago, because I do these like big business plans. I've got this big dry wipe in my office, and I've got all these things done in the wall, and I normally plan out journeys, but I actually had to do one for myself. I was feeling a bit demotivated. I had to do this whole like, Lee, what is going on? You know, and I've mapped out myself, and I was like, look what you've achieved, look what you've done. And you look at it and you go, do you know what? You have achieved quite a bit. You've done well. You know, stop kicking yourself. But at the same time, I never thought I'd do those things. So I don't know where I'll go next. I mean, my next goal this year was to grow the trade show business, maybe do some more for the magic world, and do more giving back. I mean, I really wanted to progress as a speaker, because I've done quite a bit on the speaking circuit. I don't class myself as a speaker at all. You know, because you do speaking, it's very rewarding, right? And there's nothing, I get the same feeling walking off a stage after doing a talk and I do from performing magic, and that tells me that I should be doing it. So.
Yeah. It's a real buzz, yeah.
It really is a buzz, and I really want to grow in that area, because I say when I get on a stage, I never say I'm this accomplished speaker, and I usually get up and say what I'm going to tell you about is things that I'm still doing. I'm not a speaker. I'm just going to talk to you about my journey and what I'm still doing and how you can apply it. But, you know, I love it. I just love it. I want to grow in that world. Maybe that'll be the next thing.
Well, here's a sneak peek. I've got Brad Burton getting interviewed for this channel, and he's doing a couple of different videos for me for the Mondays, and one he's
doing Brad
is on how to be a professional speaker. He's doing
a crap watching that,
a professional speaker. So
Brad's fantastic. If you've not checked out Brad Burton, guys, check him out. He's a character.
He's UK's number one motivational business speaker. Is absolutely amazing.
He's fantastic. Yeah, no, it's good. You know, it's just been an interesting journey. I've loved every single minute of it. You know, we're very lucky. And I think, again, we should realise how lucky we are. This whole lockdown experience and having everything cut off made me realise how lucky we are doing what we do. You know, if you're an entertainer, you're in the arts, you're a performer, and you make money from it, come on. You know, how lucky are we?
It's true. It's absolutely true. It really is. And things will bounce back. We've had a few conversations over the last few days. You know, things will bounce back bigger than ever before. This will just be a blip in human history. And
Indeed. Remember that little virus, that little bug that went around?
Yeah.
Before the boom.
2020. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Exactly. But, Lee, it has been absolutely amazing having you on the channel. You were one of the first people that I wanted to get on here, because your story is so different to a lot of other magicians. You know, and in some ways, you and I have paralleled each other. You know, because we both have away from creating, and we've gone in different directions, but built businesses that are still connected to magic, but also sort of separate as well. And it's great. I'm really glad that you came on here and you're able to share everything that you've got going on and how you've actually managed to achieve that.
Thank you. And look at the lineup of people you've had on here and the people you've got coming on. It's been an honor to be on it, mate. Honestly, thank you. And maybe at the very end, I'll come on here. If you'll let me, I'll interview you.
Oh, wow. That'd be great.
There's an offer. Let me know when you're ready.
I can't think of anyone else I would rather have Smith. That would be good.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, thank you so much, Lee. So, guys, who have we got next week? So, on next Tuesday, we've got John Gustafaro, you know, from the Brainstormer DVDs, 1 Degree. He's going to be talking about his 1 Degree theory and how you can improve stuff with 1 Degree. So that's going to be next Tuesday. But we put 14 videos up every single week on the channel, so subscribe to the channel. I'll be back tomorrow with Ryland doing a magic review, so that'll be tomorrow. And once again, Lee, thanks very much. I'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic, magic.
Be
magic.
Sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel.
Magic TV.
Which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV, or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic podcast.